Thank you, brother. If you'd like to open up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 again. It's hard not to mix those up, 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll look again at the text together. All of those T books are together. Thessalonians and Timothy, Titus are all together there in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And just by reading it, I hope that you picked up on a few things. That not only what the church was like, their instructions, but also Paul's instruction to them, but also Paul's relationship with them, and also how he felt about them as well. So I just want you to look down. We'll start in verse 1. I know that it starts with "for yourselves," but we'll look back at verse 1 very briefly just to get a good context here. But it says this: "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." Now, just the context is the Apostle Paul brought the gospel to these people in Thessalonica, and he said that it was not in vain. I just want to start there. Is whenever we take the gospel, whenever we go anywhere, whether it's at the end of your street, whether it's just at the end of the chapel, just to speak to someone who might have peeked in, it's never pointless, never empty, never a waste of time. He says, you know, he has to encourage them and tell them this, you know yourselves, brethren, you know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. And that started something that was amazing, and we'll see their relationship now. If you'll just look back, go to verse 3 of the previous chapter. We'll get to context of these Thessalonians, what they was like as a church, as a body. Now, growing up in Thessalonica, it was very similar to how we grew up in this country. It was a godless place, idolatry, wickedness, uncleanness, nothing that glorified God whatsoever. Look at verse 3, it says this. This is how Paul addresses them. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." This is what the Christians are like there. They had a great work of faith, a labor of love. It means they didn't just do things in a heartless way. Their labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God. He continues on, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." So, not only were the Thessalonians reminded that Paul's entrance to them was not pointless, in fact, it was a great blessing that blessed many others, as we'll see. But he also says they knew this. He says, "Ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Now he says, you know what we were like. You know how we behaved. You know how we lived. That we weren't hypocrites. That we weren't fake. That we did our utmost best to represent the Lord Jesus to you faithfully. Now Paul is a great example to us, and he was to them. And he carries on. Verse 6, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." So he said, you'll see a theme going again. There's almost like a back and forth here. Paul says, we did this and we cared for you. We tried to give you so much, even ourselves. And then what you hear back is they received the word. They received it. They always received it. Constantly. You'll see that in the next chapter as well. But then it also says this in verse 7. "So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." So not only was Paul and Timothy an example to them, but they then, after being discipled, became examples not only to them in their own hometown, but even further. And it says in verse 8, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." This is what the believers were like in that church, in that city. And it's a great example to us. And then I didn't even choose this hymn because of it, but in verse 2 of that hymn that we just sang, it says, "We have heard the Macedonian call today, send the light, send the light, and our grateful offerings at the cross we lay, send the light, send the light." That comes from that scripture in Thessalonians. They heard the call and they made it known. It could not be hid. You knew that there were Christians in that city. They couldn't be hidden and they couldn't be silenced. Now, I love this. Go to chapter 2 now, just for that context. How they received the words and that their faith, their patience, their work, their labor of love was made known to many, many others. And he says in verse 2, after verse 1, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know. So again, he says, you know this, you know so much about it, you know where we've been, you know what we've done, you know what we've taught, and even our sufferings, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Now, Paul is a man who went through great sufferings, lashings, even death. But it says this, he was bold in his God. Now, this isn't something you see a great deal of today, I think. I look in the mirror and I'd like to see more, of course. But how was he bold in his God? How was he able, with much contention, with great assurance, to be bold in his God? I notice this all the time, underline this several times in chapter 2. It says he was bold in his God to speak unto you the gospel of God. Go to verse 4, it says, but as we were allowed of God, and he continues on, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Verse 5, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Go to verse 8, so being effectually desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. In verse 9 it says, the gospel of God. Verse 10, ye are witnesses, and God also. He continues on the whole book doing this, referencing that he is under the witness of God. Now everyone looks away and picture this. Paul was very, very conscious and sensitive that God knew all things, not just in a theological way, that God was almighty, that he knows all things. No. He was conscious that God directed him and God knew all things, and that he could even account himself to God when people would say otherwise. And I love this. In verse 13 he says, for this cause also thank we God without cease. This is a man that actually walked with God. How can you be bold, sharing the gospel, living a good life for the Lord Jesus Christ? How can you do that? Walk with your God, humbly with your God. That's what Paul did daily, and he was a good example to the believers, and he still continues on 2,000 years later to be a good example to the church, doesn't he? So go back to verse 2. He was bold in his God. Why? Because he knew that the gospel that was laid in his lap came from God. Now, if we all thought like this, and we all had a perspective that God gave us this gospel, God gave us his Son, that was accompanied with a message that was to bring salvation to sinners, that was to bring a light into this world, and he has given it to us. That ought to change the way we see things. It ought to change our very lives. We ought to be very fearful even of how we handle it. Look in verse 4. It says this, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Now, I'm sure I read that hundreds of times and I never noticed it. He says this, we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Now think of how you were saved. Think of who led you to the Lord, perhaps. Think of who might have shared scriptures with you, maybe in a Sunday school, maybe at home, maybe in a church, or maybe a stranger on the street. They were allowed to be entrusted with the gospel. And no doubt, if you come to the Lord, they did a faithful job in that trust that was given to them. God has entrusted us. Think, Almighty God has entrusted us, finite people like me and you, with the gospel of his Son. How do you handle it? And how do you give it? Paul said this, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. That means Paul didn't come and approach the church with a cloak of covetousness, with a different intention hidden behind it. He didn't think, I can be put in a place of gain here, I can be in a favourable position to these churches and get gain from them. He never did that. And we'll carry on just to see his character. He says, nor of men, in verse 6, sought we glory. That means he didn't want people to remember Paul. He wanted them to know who Jesus Christ was. So his hope is, When I speak, I shouldn't leave Colm Fagan in the sermon. I should leave as much of my Saviour Jesus Christ as possible, that he might be lifted up. And when we leave here, we should leave as much of a substance behind that will glorify our Saviour. Isn't that right? And he carries on. Nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Now, many of you might want to be ministers one day. Many of you might want to labor in some way, in some ministry somewhere. This is how you can be a help. This is how you can have the right attitude and be a blessing. Is Paul had a heart that was tender toward these believers, no matter their age, no matter their country, whatever the case. He says, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Do you see any weaknesses anywhere? Do you see anything that needs to be filled? Do you see a gap that maybe needs to be filled? A hedge that needs to be made up? Then maybe you'd be able to fill it. Maybe you'd be able to contribute in some way. Maybe you see something that's kind of broken and you notice it, then fill it. That's what nurturing is. Helping to rebuild, helping to nurse, helping to get back to good health. If anything, we need strong homes, strong churches, strong believers. And if you see that, be like Paul, like gentle among the believers. In verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. He followed up not only by giving them the gospel, he followed up not with only discipleship, but Paul would have given everything that these believers might walk on with God. That's the heart that he had for them. And carry on, it says this in verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labour and travail, for labouring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Now, Paul was a tent maker by trade. That's what he did. He worked. He earned for himself just so that this, no accusation could even be brought to say that, Paul's lazy. Or Paul, he's kind of skimming, he's fleecing the flock a little bit. He comes here and he kind of sponges off of people. He worked night and day to have a good testimony that no one could even lay a charge close to him. That's the kind of testimony he had. Is yours like that, Christian? Or do you kind of leave loose ends so that people could bring an occasion to you? And most of them are false, of course. But Paul made sure that he had a good testimony that was solid, above reproach. Verse 10, ye are witnesses, and God also. Now look what he says about Paul, Silvanus, Timotheus. He says this, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. We need good examples in the church today. We need good examples to be able to help those who are maybe more immature in the faith, but also those that are more mature. And how can we do that? He said this, we behaved holily. That means they were separate. They wasn't worldly in their thinking or their actions or their speech. They didn't behave one way and then another way in front of the believers. They were holy. And it says this, justly and unblameable. That's how they behaved. By the way, your behavior is what you do. Your behavior is your responsibility. You cannot say, well, the church does this, so I kind of just roll with it. No. If the church is one way and you see the scriptures another, you follow the scriptures. If a Christian is living one way, contrary to what the Bible teaches, you go with the Bible. But he says this, we behaved holily, justly, unblameably among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. That's how he saw them. He saw them as his own flesh and blood. And when you look round at Christians, that's how you should see them. Are we not to be a family? Are we not of the same kin, as it were? Do we not share the same home in heaven, the same Saviour, the same Father? We certainly do. And this is how non-believers, this is how the world shall see that we are his disciples. Whose? His disciples. We're not of a man. Now, they followed Paul as they followed the Lord. They followed Paul as he followed the Lord. Now that's what we ought to do, is love one another, give one to another, that we might be able to glorify God. Paul did his utmost best to do that, and he said, I would have given my soul that these believers would have done all they could after I go. Now I was reading a biography of Amy Carmichael. I'm still reading it. I think Lucy actually gave it to me some years ago when we first met. You remember that day we had outreach in Oxford? She laid out like a table of books, and I took the Amy Carmichael one. and I've started reading it now, like 3 years later. And it's helped me greatly. And there was a gentleman that she labored with that he knew the native language, he knew the Tamil language amongst the people in India. And he taught her language, and his wife encouraged her greatly, helped them labor amongst children and other people there to nurse people and give them the gospel. And he said a statement that was very profound that helped me greatly. He said, "Let us build for the years we shall not see. Let us build for the years we shall not see." Here's what he's saying. Let us invest in the future. Let us invest in eternity that we might be able to reap. Even if we don't see it this side of eternity, let us build. Let us build. Let us continue to build that others might be able to come along later and reap. How are you investing in the kingdom? Is it a little? Is it a lot? Is it anything? Is it with a heartfelt affection like Paul did? How are you investing in the brethren? How are you serving in your church? Is it anything at all? Is there any zeal behind it? Is there any love that motivates you to do it? Let us build for the years we shall not see. That was a profound statement that impacted me. Look down in verse 11 and we carry on. It says, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God." That ye would walk worthy of God. Now sometimes we read over this, maybe because we see the word God or the name God appear so much in the Bible, from Genesis 1:1 all the way throughout. Maybe we read over it quite a fair bit. But it says this, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now think of this. You yourself, the sins you've committed in your life, the things that you've done, have not been worthy of heaven, have not been worthy of his kingdom, and nor me. But what he has given to us, that we could be a part of his kingdom, the forgiveness, mercy, and grace that he shed upon us, that we can spend eternity with this loving God. We do not deserve anything from him. But it says this, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. That's what he calls us to. His kingdom and glory. Can you believe he's entrusted us with the gospel to lead others to that same kingdom and to share that same glory? You are going to inherit with Jesus Christ one day, and what you do here shall reflect what is there for you. What do you do here, Christian? By the way, I didn't meet a single Christian for 21 years of my life. 21 long years I was lost in the world, on my way to hell, and didn't even know it. I didn't meet one Christian, not one. If I did meet them, they were silent. We ought not to be silent. We ought to bring God as much glory as we possibly can, and be conscious, like Paul was, of every opportunity he gives us. Every opportunity. Now look at verse 13. "For this cause we also thank God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word..." When you receive the gospel, when you receive the word of the kingdom, when you received it, the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So Paul commends these believers. Why? Because they received them. And they received the word of God. And you know what they did? They received it as it is in truth. And by the way, when the truth is received, it ought to be worked out. When the truth is received, it ought not to be shunned. When the truth is received, it ought to be passed on. But go back just to the previous verse. I love this. In verse 12, "that ye would walk worthy of God." How can we walk worthy? With the trust that God has put in us to hold forth the word of life. How can we walk worthy? It says this in Ephesians chapter 4. Go there very quickly. Just a few books to the left. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says this. "I therefore..." I'll wait for you to get there. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." A vocation means your role, your title, your job. Your responsibility, as it were. He says that you walk worthy. That means all worth that it should have should be given. If something is worthy to you, then you'd consider it to be very precious. If something is of good worth to you, it would be of good investment for you, wouldn't it? Now, how should we walk worthy? It says this in verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness. And Paul definitely did this. Such a great example. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's how we can labor and walk worthy of God. Go to the book of Colossians with me quickly. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Colossians 1:10 says something very similar. By the way, you see this occurring over and over again in the New Testament. I'm just going to look at a few times here. Colossians 1, verse 10, when you're there. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. As a child of God, would you like all your ways to please the Lord? When you're at work, when you're at home, when you're with your family, your children, when you're with your friends, when you're at church, when you're out by yourself, when you're alone with God, would you like all your ways to please Him? Walk worthy of God unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Now, I'm growing some things in my garden, and because of the hot weather, I missed watering them for a few days, and all of them just leaned over, and I thought, oh no, they're going to die. I had to water them. I want to see fruit for all of my labor. I want to see something coming back. It's taken up a lot of room in my small garden. Now, think of this in your life. How fruitful are you as a Christian? You're not to be fruitless. You're not to be something that takes up the ground and burdensome on anything else. So it says this, worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And again, that knowledge that you're increased by, share it. And that building up where you're built up, you'll be able to help others and strengthen them. Now go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 13, for this cause also we thank God. And by the way, he was always giving thanks unto God without ceasing. That's an example we could be one to another. So sometimes some of you might think, I've been praying for those in Zimbabwe every day. Make sure that you pray for one another. Make sure you pray for your homes and your families every day. Paul considered them so close to him that he even tried to get there. If you saw, as we read in the end of the chapter, he tried to get there. He says, in verse 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul. I wouldn't have just sent Timothy. I wanted to see you face to face. That's how much I care for you. That's how much I love you. I wanted to meet with you. And that was quite a journey. But he said, Satan hindered us. That's how Paul felt towards these believers. But he couldn't see them. You know what he did? I like how Dylan mentioned that earlier. He prayed for them without ceasing. He gave thanks for them to God without ceasing. This is a man, this is a role model that we should follow, that can be followed, that walked with God, that was conscious of God, that had the gospel of Jesus Christ before him, and he took it very, very seriously. If there are lost souls out there and you're very conscious of it, you would look to make a difference. If you was very conscious of eternity, you would make a difference. And that goes for me too. If we are conscious, if we are deliberate, then we will see change. We will see God move. I look back at several characters in the Bible over my time as a Christian, and I think of all of them. I think of Ezra, who was described, you go seven chapters through the book of Ezra until you get to him, and it says that he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. He was a ready scribe. That means he was very conscious, very deliberate, in a time where no one was willing to serve, no one was willing to follow the Lord. He was very deliberate. I look at Gideon, I preached a sermon on him recently, and the Lord acknowledged Gideon. He says, thou mighty man of valor, you shall deliver your people as with one man. And he says, Lord, how am I a mighty man of valor? Where is God? Where is all the miracles that we've heard of? Where are all these, you know, mighty works that you spoke of? Where are they? Is God with us? That's what he's saying. How can these things be? We're trodden underfoot. They've taken all of our crops. They've cut down our lands and they're driving us into the caves. How can this happen? God's not with us. That's how he sees it. And some of you might see it like that as well. But look, this is a response that God gives. Am not I with thee? That's all that the Lord had to say. Am not I with thee? And then over and over again, you see in that chapter, Judges chapter 6, God is with thee. The Lord is with thee. And that is what you need to know. It's your job to be aware of it. It's your job to seek him daily. And it's your job to make him known. And if possible, daily. So be conscious, be aware, be sensitive that we have a God who walks before us and he's even behind us. He says, walk ye in the way. Don't steer to the left or right. I thank God that he covered all avenues. He's before us, behind us, above us. and he's in us.
Amen.
So be encouraged. Be a good help to the believers. Love one another. Don't be burdensome to each other. Lift each other's burdens and carry them if you can. Again, if you see something that would need addressing, if you see something that would need acknowledging or building, I think that's God speaking to you to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. We need a church of God that would reflect our Savior in the best possible way, especially in these last days. So may God encourage you greatly. May God speak to you personally in your own walk, in your own life. And may God speak to us as a church too. Let's pray together. And Brother Dylan will come back up to close the service. Our Father in heaven, we do give you thanks and praise that you have entrusted us. You've entrusted this church here at Oxford and the multitude of churches and believers and all over the world with the gospel of your Son, that we might be able to make him known. Help us to take it more seriously than we take any other role in our life, our walk with God, more so than our jobs, our secular jobs, more so than putting bread on the table. May we be able to bring in spiritual bread to the believers and also to them that are without. Father, equip us in a mighty way, we pray. Give us boldness. Help us not to fear man, and help us not to fall in the trap of being men pleasers, like Paul said, but those who please God. And may we always know, always have it in our minds, that God is witness to all of our works, our thoughts, our sayings, our deeds. May we not fool ourselves to thinking that we might do less, but may we do much more for you, we pray. So Father, may you be glorified, and you be acknowledged, and you be praised in all things that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, brother.